Hi, everyone, and welcome back to RPG R&D. I am one of your hosts here in the year 2025. It's the future. Jestron 3000. I was trying to think of a good future name. I'm Jess Geyer. I'm one half of Wannabe Games, and I make role-playing games. And I will make some role-playing games this year. And I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Craig Campbell. Hello, Craig.
Hi, Jess. Yes, I'm Craig Campbell. I'm the owner of Nerdburger Games. And I, too, have, as our guest remarked before we started recording, I made it. I made it through 2024. Derek, welcome back and Merry New Year.
And also with you, my friend. What is your what is your sci-fi dystopian 2025 name?
Oh jeez.
Putting you on the spot. Come on, Mr. GM.
I didn't realize there would be improv games.
We got Jestron 3030.
Yes, and. Yeah.
I will be Daxtro 32 designation Lambda Alpha 30. I got nothing.
I specifically didn't choose 3030. I specifically didn't, so I wouldn't be Deltron.
Oh, Deltron. Okay. Respect. Yeah, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure talking to you guys. And thanks for having me here in the future. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thank you for coming. I was so excited. Tell us, other than your sci-fi futuristic name, Derek,
yes.
Tell us about yourself.
You know, just a time traveler. I'm coming from... No. I am a teacher by trade, and I also publish games and books through my imprint, Shoreless Skies Publishing. If I'm known for anything, it's the Broken Cask Innkeeping solo RPG. People seem to like that one. And this, I'm proud to say this is my third time on your show, maybe?
Oh,
I think so. Third
fifth,
or fourth.
Sixth?
Fifth? You think it's fifth
okay.
or
yeah.
sixth?
Like, so I'm going to call myself friend of the show. Friend of the show, Derek.
The folks that have been there since the beginning are on like round five.
Yes. So that's true.
It's possible we missed you. Like every so often, like somebody's schedule just doesn't line up and I end up just
skipping.
Oh,
yeah. That's me. You've asked me more times than I could be on, which I'm sad to say. So I appreciate you having me back. And I'm glad to talk about what we're going to do here. We got this whole year in front of us.
Yes, may old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind. And those acquaintances are our 2024 role-playing game or gaming habits. Maybe,
yes.
I don't know. We're talking about New Year's resolutions for gamers today.
Yeah, for the record, Derek, six times.
Ooh, you counted.
Yeah, I went back to, I've got a schedule. I've got a spreadsheet where I mark down because I keep track of, because when I have to email people to get them on, I make a note. Okay, I reached out to these people. Okay, this person's not available. And then I check the next person and, you know.
So maybe I've graduated from friend of the show to irregular contributor.
And I will say this, if we like Saturday Night Live have a five timers club, you've already been in it for
yes.
5 months or 4 months or however long it's been since last.
All right, I'm going to come to your house pick up my jacket.
Yeah, we'll have to get your jacket to you with the embroidered five on the chest.
I wish we had merch. That'd be fun.
Hey, that sounds like a resolution to me.
Just a quick aside on the five timers thing. There was like the SNL still does the five timers club thing with hosts where they make kind of a thing out of it when they have their five time. And they often have other five timers, you know, who guest. So it's like old cast members who have hosted a bunch or people that have just hosted many times.
Tom Hanks, who's hosted 25 times.
Alec Baldwin is the current front runner. And it's like 27 or something like whatever the number is. It's some ridiculously high number. It's 20 something or the high teens or something like that. And that's his jacket when he came out the last time I watched this had that number on it. Like everybody else had a five and then he had that one and he made a big deal out of how he's the front runner for the most times.
I love anyway. That.
Maybe we need to make a 30 Rock RPG.
That already exists. It's called Fiasco. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
No, we're not talking about SNL. Yeah. We're talking about New Year's resolutions for gamers.
Oh.
Because it's 2025. It's a new year. Mm-hmm. New year, new me.
What are you groaning about there, Craig Word?
I have an issue with the word resolution and with the concept of resolutions. And it's grown out of me seeing other people. It's social media has ruined the word resolution for me, basically.
It's ruined so many words. How many words do we have left?
It's ruined a great many things. And it, because you see too often people who, like, they make a resolution and they say, I'm going to do this thing. And then if they don't do it, or they don't do it well enough or often enough or whatever, then they punish themselves and they make themselves feel like bad for not accomplishing this thing. Even if they did, maybe they did accomplish some of it. Like, that's great. You did something. So, and you know, I resolve to do these things. Like, I promise, like, no, you don't know what the rest of this coming year holds for you. That may, what you just resolved to do may not be on the plate for 2025, but that's okay. But we can approach it, I suppose. I will curb my hatred for the word.
Should we get on the same page here and maybe pick a different term? Is there, because I think, you know, if we pull out the Webster's, the resolve literally is okay, but I understand completely what you mean by how it's been beat up by the culture, especially the online quote unquote culture. So maybe we should just come up with a better word.
It could just be a goal.
Like goal, endeavor.
I like the word endeavor.
Yeah, a goal also applies, you failed at your goal. You didn't achieve the goal, but an endeavor is like, well, you're going to try to do something. It might be an ongoing, a quest. Perfect.
Quest. Boom. Yes.
That's why Jess gets paid.
I was going to say expedition, but that's too long.
It still has the loftiness of like, this is the thing. It's a long-term project.
But it has the whimsy. It's got the whimsy. So if you don't complete it to 100%, it's still like,
totally an RPG word. It's an RPG word.
Correct. All right. So 2025 quests.
Yeah. When I was thinking about this topic, I thought at first how it would be funny to compare those traditional New Year's resolutions to our gaming sides. And I made a quip about what the equivalent of quitting smoking would be for a New Year's quest. And Derek, you said quitting D&D. Would you actually make that? Would you actually put that on a list of goals for a gamer in 2025?
No, because I'm not an experienced D&Der. I just think like people like I know Craig quite well, and so I know people like him and other old timers. Mm-hmm. No offense, like just people who have been in the hobby for a long time. They've kind of grown out of D&D, and we've moved on to, you know, indie games and games that are a little bit more maybe better designed. Or more thoughtfully curated experiences. And so I remember another example would be Epidaya Ravishall, who did the great Swords Without Master game and several other things. And this was way back when, this was like Gen Con 2018, maybe 2016. And he kept like going, dang it, because he resolved, if you will, to not even mention D&D when he was like comparing games.
It's hard.
And so that's why it came to mind for me when you mentioned like quitting smoking. It's like there are people who have been in the scene and the hobby for a long time and they're trying to get away from D&D. I've played like maybe 3 D&D sessions my entire life. So if anything, I probably need to play more D&D so I can know what to not like about it.
Okay. First of all, if you like D&D, play D&D. That's great. But I think,
no judgment here.
Jess's comment about like comparing it to quitting smoking holds, because there are a lot of people that get into gaming and they get into gaming with D&D, and that's their group, and they would have a very hard time finding another group to play a different game or convincing their current group to play something other than D&D. So it is kind of like having a hard time quitting, because that's the thing that's like super available and has players ready to go. So
maybe we could,
a quest to try a different game could be a good,
which may be more of a quest to convince your play group or your some other friends to try the game with you, because that's really the issue.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you could make it your quest to do this year would be, instead of like, because it can be a real struggle to get your friends to want to play, like interrupt their game that they've been playing D&D forever, interrupt that kind of schedule, that routine that they have, and instead make it a goal to get them out of your house or wherever you play and go to a convention, like a local convention, or go to a gaming store that does an indie game day. Like, we have those in Chicago. I know that that's not available for everybody, but there are conventions are available, I know it's a bit of a price tag. That can still be a big persuasive ask, but then you're not kind of breaking the routine. You're adding something else in, and that can make it a little bit more enjoyable for everyone. I mean, maybe this is more of the equivalent of like, instead of quitting smoking, this is the traditional, I'm going to eat better and go to the gym of gaming here. Like I'm going to try out some new things.
But I think what your point of changing the setting is a great idea, even if it's not a convention. Even if you go to a game shop or somebody else's house, like that can be a great way to break it up. Because like you said, I think the issue for a lot of people changing game systems, even if it's for a one shot, is many people are more interested in the collective storytelling than they are with the game mechanics. And so learning something new, when a lot of these games can kind of be a bit crunchy, can be intimidating. So especially like if you're in your same comfortable spot with the same people, you're not going to want to try something new. But if you can, just say, oh, we're just going to go over here for one night and we're going to try this other game just
It
to
also
see how
has
we
the
like it.
benefit. Oh, sorry,
I
I
think
didn't mean to
you
interrupt.
no, that's all. I was just saying that, changing the setting, I think, eases the blow a little
I think
bit.
it has the secondary benefit of you don't have to have your entire gaming group there. Like, if one person can't make it, that's not that big of a deal. You're not playing something that you're planning on carrying with them. But then you can kind of convince one person at a time, kind of like a like building up your allies in this quest to play something else.
No, that's true, and that can feel subversive to some people, or like Machiavellian. Maybe I've been watching The Sopranos too much, but it's kind of the way you have to be about it. Like you have to talk to people individually, to kind of get their feeling and maybe address their concerns before you can do something else. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's just the way human dynamics tend to work.
I think it's
I
a
think.
totally great quest to play something else this year if you only play one game, even if it's not
Yes.
D&D that you always play. Maybe you're always like you're a big Fate head. You play something else this year. Try something new. Try something that came out in 2025 this year.
Right. If you play, if you pri if
Ooh.
you and your group primarily plays like certain sub genres of games, like if you only ever play fantasy games, or if you only ever play super crunchy games, or maybe you only, speaking on the out of the flip side of the coin, maybe you only play like story, like really rules light story games, like you don't know. Maybe you don't think the crunchy stuff and min-maxing a character and everything would be all that fun. But like, for a one shot or a little mini campaign or something, maybe that's something you want to explore. And I think there's a good point to be made in approaching the people in your group or your friend group or whatever, individually too, because I know that it can be very easy for a group mentality to set in where you feel like you're there with your group and you're like, hey, we just finished our D&D game or whatever, right? Some game, and you say like, I've really wanted to try out this like very different game. Who wants to, would you all like to come along? Who'd like to come along? And everybody kind of like, I don't know, and everybody just like sort of slowly just kind of shakes their head and agrees with each other. And that is to say, agrees that they're not interested, because even if somebody who's saying that is perhaps actually excited, and wants to try it out, but doesn't want to be the person that kind of throws the dynamic of the group into a, potentially what they think might be an argument or, So yeah, talk to people individually and say, hey, I'd really like to try this thing out. I know that there's a game day that is going to be having this. Would you like to come with me and see, maybe you get all of them together, maybe you only get a couple of people, go try out a different game. That's a great quest for the year. And it's a quest that can happen at all different times for all different reasons. It can be you as a group trying to play a different game. It can be you going to a convention of some sort, or even just a game day or a meetup day, depending where you live. It could be just seeking out an online access point to certain types of games. There are Discord servers and curated play programs for different stuff. If you've always wanted to try Powered by the Apocalypse and you got a couple bucks to spend, Magpie Games has a curated play program where they have excellent, like, vetted GMs that Magpie people know. These people know their game. And you can try out, Avatar or Masks or something like that.
I wonder if that would also kind of, as an aside, The unfortunate thing about multiplayer gaming en masse, whether you're playing online or at the table with your friends, is that it's meant to be a relaxing hobby, but it also requires people skills, and people skills require energy. So that might be a quest for some people to exercise or try to improve your people skills in your group dynamic, because I know that's really hard. Like, I'm thinking about my main RPG group that's been going for years, and even though we've known each other for years and we love each other, we love playing together, it's like broaching a subject of changing a game or anything that's like remotely not fun can be challenging. And so I wonder if people out there maybe have avoided that kind of thing for ages, and so this might be the quest of the year to try and find ways to communicate better with your group and work on those people skills, which we, all so desperately need to practice. At least I
I think a
do.
great way to introduce that would be here's something that can make those kinds of conversations easier because you're practicing it in the space that you've already established. If your group doesn't already have safety tools, introduce them at your table.
Ah, yes.
I mean, that's a nice,
We
that's a
love that.
little ask, like, oh, we're gonna try this out. I saw this. I heard about it in this podcast. By the way, everyone should be listening to this podcast. That's your second resolution or quest. Make everybody listen to this podcast. I heard about it on this podcast. I want to try this out because we're gonna talk about, we're gonna kind of be switching tones here, or I'm gonna be adding this into the adventure. I mean, I'm approaching this as if I'm a GM. And here's what we're gonna do. And then that can also give you some tools to practice to talk about, like to have a conversation that's a little harder for you, because that's really what the safety tool is for, is not about like punishing people for breaking a rule, but for being there to facilitate a conversation when feelings could be hurt.
That's a great point.
And I find myself too thinking about like the jump to actually trying a game. We've discussed this time and again. As indie game designers, we run into this problem all the time, which is how do you get people to even like read the game or learn something about it, much less play it? Like, I know I have a number of friends who every year they discuss their quest, as it were, of how many books they want to read during the year. And at the end of the year, they'd say, this is how many books I read. And and they some of them even list all of them and even like rate them and like all sorts of stuff. They really get into it. You could do that with game with RPGs as well. You could say, I'm going to quest, I'm going to attempt to read six new games this year. To the extent that the game book ends up interesting me. You might get a game and be like, start reading it. You're kind of like, nah, that's not really for me. You might get another one and be like, oh, this is wonderful. And you devour the whole thing. And you could potentially do that amongst your group as well, especially with the proliferation of PDFs as the go-to container of the game content for so many people. Is you can just like, buy the PDF and share it around and say, hey, why don't we all take a look at this and see if this kind of does it for us, and if we want to try it out before you commit to saying we're going to play this thing. Let's see if everybody just kind of samples the product and figure out whether it's something they want to.
Yeah, sample the product. First hit's free. But that was going to be my 2 cents, was because I was thinking like, what should my gaming goals be for the year? And I think one of them is to let everything count as the hobby. So I think sometimes I think, oh, if I don't release a game, or if I'm not pl actively playing a game, oh, I didn't do anything this year. Like I had a really tough. It's funny because I think last time I was on, we talked about burnout. I had a tough year being productive. But I also did a lot of stuff that was sort of tangential or complementary to my own output as a game designer, and that all counts. And so I think what you're saying about reading books, even if you just read them and you don't play them, that's great. That's enriching, and that counts as your gaming quest or goal for the year. Like, for example, I have never played Apocalypse World, but I read the book cover to cover, and it was a great read. And more importantly, I think it made me a better game master. So even if you don't play the game, reading the book is going to enrich your other gaming experiences, or at the very least, bring you a little bit of joy. And that all counts, So I think sometimes we feel like we have to be playing X number of games a month, or we have to be, as designers, we have to be cranking out game after game, or whatever the case may be. Even just reading the core book Absolutely
That's
counts.
my quest, is to read some more books, kind of become a little bit more knowledgeable about what my peers are doing, especially stuff that they released last year. I did not like really buy a lot of games last year or do any of that, but I did get to experience a lot of them in play. But I want to take more time to read what my peers are putting in their pages. Because I spend a lot of time
Yeah.
writing it, and when I play a game, I'm not reading all the rules. I'm letting a GM kind of facilitate that for me. So that's been my quest. I have some stuff on my bookshelf I still haven't read, that I need to get through
Yeah.
as well.
And I like that you mentioned, you say peers, because I think part of the problem for me anyway is that there's so much stuff out there, it's intimidating. And so if I'm not sure exactly what you mean by peers, but even if you're just talking about like our fellow IGDNers, like that's a great way to focus your reading, because like there's a YouTuber named Whittle Goblin, and she went to maybe it was Gen Con, anyway, some big convention this year, and one of her videos was like this stack of books that she found at this convention, and I'm like, there's no way, like I would never read all those books, like so we need some kind of way to focus that scope, because there are so many games, especially in the indie space. So even if you just go for people, pick one writer you haven't read before, or pick one person in a particular stable, that can help narrow the focus if you're feeling overwhelmed, because there's just so
There
much stuff out
is,
there.
and that's why I did say peers too. I can't read everything that everybody does. I'm not necessarily
Right.
interested in reading every single new game that comes out, but I want to be able to talk to the people who I like and I enjoy, talking about games with. I want to be able to know about their games, because I respect them and I like them. I want to have something to talk to them about. And that's a really good way to do it. Just like being a bit more. I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily call it like a matter of respect, because I don't think that you disrespect anyone by not reading their game. But you've been watching too much Sopranos, Derek.
It's all about respect. You need a lot of respect. Respect over here.
But it's like it's something I want to do, because I want to kind of bring a little bit more positivity into 2025. And I know it makes me feel good when I know somebody's read my book, even if they haven't played it.
I also have to think it helps with burnout, because like how inspiring are these books? Like even if it's a game you never actually play, maybe you don't even finish the book, but like one mechanic or one piece of art could be that thing to push you to try something else, or work on your own stuff. So
Exactly.
there's a great net
That's
benefit to all that
definitely on my
stuff.
list. My list of quests for this year is to read some more games than I have been in the last couple of years. I find myself every so often, I hear somebody like, we have Matthew Orr on the podcast quite regularly, and nearly every episode he points out something specific from some game that he's just read. Like it's a thing.
Yes.
He reads a ton of books. He's one of those friends of mine that publishes his whole list at the end of the year, and it's always a ton. There's fiction and nonfiction, but then there's game books as well. And I find myself thinking, oh, I should really read more some because there's a lot to be enjoyed,
Friggin' Matt.
just from just the reading, and there's a lot to be, I think, learned, for somebody who's publishing games as well.
How do you strike a balance between finding the motivation and pushing yourself to read those books without, like you said, being mean to yourself if you don't? You know what I mean? Like you could see someone like Matt and be like, dude, read 20 books this year. Oh man, I suck. I only read two books. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, how do you
Step
find
number
that
one
balance?
is
That's 'cause that's something I
don't compare
continually struggle
yourself to Matt Orr, because
with.
he's,
Dude
I don't
reads a
know how he does
lot.
it.
He does.
No, he's also such a sweet guy. Like I can't like that. Sure, that could be my exemplar of a human being. But like not comparing yourself, I
We're all
think
trying to
that's
be
like
like
a
Matt
huge
Orr.
problem, is like the comparison. And Craig, like you were really onto something when you said that social media has kind of ruined this idea. It's no longer about pursuing something for your own benefit or for your own life or to make the world better. It's about, ooh, what can I show off at the end of the year that I've done, or what can I show off on social media? I think that's
And
really
then
harmful.
if I don't,
What's going to get
and
me
I
some
feel
clicks?
guilty about it, then I express to everyone how guilty I feel about it as a way to, you think what you're doing is motivating yourself to be better next year, but what
Yeah.
you're really doing is just bringing yourself down in the moment. There are ways to motivate yourself to be better next year without slamming yourself for what you didn't accomplish.
No, that's a great point.
That's true.
Great point.
So that's definitely on the quest list for this coming year for me. Another one is to just actually play a game now and then,
Yeah.
where I'm not the GM of a play test. Most importantly,
Yeah.
actually be a
Yeah.
player, not be the GM. Just show up with a character and
Yeah.
play. I have not gotten a chance to do that a lot lately, and I very much miss it. And I have certain plans in place for convention stuff for this year, but I know that one of the things that I'm going to be starting to do a little bit more is trying to shift to going to some local conventions. I don't know that how much it's going to happen this year, but trying to hit smaller game conventions here and there with no intention of getting a booth. I'm going to go and I'm just going to play games. I'm going to
Yeah.
go by myself. I'm just going to suck it up and I'm going to go up to a Catacon again, finally, after not going for several years. And I'm not going to try to get a booth or even sell a handful of books from a demo table or anything. I'll run a couple of my game slots and then I'll play four games.
That's great. And it's so hard to just make time to do that because when you're so focused on your own stuff, because we do, even though it's so spread out here in Atlanta, like we do have a lot of resources and conventions, and there's the In-Town RPG Day that I think still happens monthly, but it's so hard to be proactive about that stuff. So
The
I wish you
killer
luck
on
on your
that
quest.
is if I go to a convention, it becomes okay, now it's travel expenses and everything, and it's maybe
Yeah.
vacation
Right.
time. And so like how much of my vacation time and how much am I willing to spend on hotels and airfare and whatnot? Because
Yeah,
I've
and then
got
you
a
kind of
certain
focus
number
on
of
breaking
things that
even,
I
and you don't
kind of
want to
have to
lose
do. Like
money.
Gen Con and PAX Unplugged are pretty much
Yes.
on my docket every year going forward. And I'm attending Gamma Expo this year, which is the trade show for tabletop game people. It's an industry thing for those who are not aware. I'm going to that for the first time this year. I don't know that I will necessarily go every year, but this year for sure I'm gonna. And so those three right there just ate up a ton of like my vacation time and like if I'm gonna start blowing another several hundred dollars on airfare and several hundred dollars on a hotel to go to a nice little game convention that's too far away to, that's not in Atlanta or too far away to drive easily, then yeah, that starts to become an issue. And you have
That's
to pick and choose your battles for that and not feel bad because, like, well, I allotted my time to these things this year. Next year, I'm one of those things isn't going to happen, and I'm going to allot some time to some other things.
such a big quest for game designers, especially if you've ever had a booth
Yes.
like enjoying and experiencing a convention as a guest can be
Oh,
maybe make that one of your quests if you're always busy. I'm super excited this year because it's the first year in a long time that I won't be on the leadership team for the IGDN. And it's one of the first years since I've been a game designer that I won't have been. So I want to enjoy a convention a little bit more than I mean
check out Gen Con, really?
actually check out Gen Con.
What?
Yeah,
No.
I had like some of
That's
my
crazy talk.
best gaming memories have been at Gen Con as just a guest. And then then I started GMing at conventions for other people. And since then I've just been work, 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 work at every single convention. And I did not play a single game the last 2 years of somebody else's at Gen Con. And that is bad. I don't want to do that. Bad. I don't want to do that. It's bad for me
Bad, bad,
because
bad.
I like to experience things and I like to play. Not that I don't like GMing,
There you go.
but I like to play. And I want to play. And I want to play with some strangers. And I know that sounds a little funny too.
That sounds terrible.
but I want to play some strangers. Yeah. So that's one of my quests for this year. Just do that.
That's huge, and I think that goes back to what I'm saying about like what counts. Because again, I'm kind of processing this as we're talking. I think I was not very nice to myself this year because I hadn't really released anything since all the way back in 2023. Oh my gosh. But I did a lot of gaming this year. I painted a lot of models. I played a lot of solo games. I played a lot of Warhammer. I played some Pathfinder. I read some books, and like that all contributes to myself just as a human who likes to play games, but also it informs. I've also did a lot of like not designs, but I guess you could say like mods for games, other tabletop games I'm playing, like my own rules and things like house rules and things like that. So like that all counts as a designer. I think I put a lot of pressure on myself to like, oh, I gotta feel like I'm part of the scene, you know, like this and that. I gotta try to participate more. That doesn't motivate me at all. It hasn't motivated me at all. But I think enriching myself with more games, more books, and so on, that is more inspiring and motivating to make my own stuff than anything else. So I think you questing to play more games that are not yours and not worry about writing games so much, I think is going to, in the long run, help to enrich you as a creator. So I think that's going to
Well, I
be a good
didn't
one for
say I
you.
wasn't going to write a lot of games. So that's definitely one of my quests. I have a couple games that I... but playing more
I've got a
certainly.
schedule.
Playing
I've
games,
got a
yes.
schedule to keep.
I don't. I have no schedule, which is really, well,
Oh,
I have some freelancing projects that I'm working on this year that I do have a schedule for,
I
but
am the I'm on the flip side of that right now. I am highly scheduled right now. But it's because
is that anything to do with all the beautiful art behind
there's
you
some art behind
that
me,
these listeners
the
can't
sketches
see?
for the card game. Yeah. That's part of it. Yeah, like there's this card game thing, and then there's Cosmic Corsairs, which is like, if all goes well, the first game in a game line. But with the plan of having this stuff ready, you know, on a certain schedule, so that next year, I can say that now. This is 2025 right now, as we're speaking. Next year, 2026, is the 10-year anniversary of Nerdburger Games, and I would like to make a big deal out of that. So I'm kind of
Hey.
spending my year prepping so that I can make a big deal out of that, which puts me on a
Yeah.
schedule, which is going to make these quests harder, which is why I'm going to keep them vague. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to read 12 games, you know, one a month, or I'm going to play a game every month, or I'm going to play in a campaign. I'm not going to make, I'm going to say my quests are read more games. If that becomes two games,
Perfect.
great. I read
That's
more
more.
games.
Mission
If I
accomplished.
play in a couple of game sessions where I'm just a player, great.
It's about having a growth mindset, and I think that that's like
There
a
you go.
really hard thing to conceptualize when everyone else is like putting a bunch of numbers on, and like everyone always talks about SMART goals, like your goal has to be measurable, it has to be blah blah blah. Like, no, it doesn't.
Oh my
Oh,
God,
I
you are a
am.
teacher, aren't you?
You know it.
I mean, I know you are. I know you are. It's just funny how like that the teacher ease comes out,
But a growth
teacher speak.
mindset, I think, is super important. That's a really good concept. And it's hard to learn. I've seen students have a hard time with it. And those are students with spongy little brains. It's even harder for an adult to go from like, oh, I have to do this, to, especially when all of their peers are doing that online right now, to go, no, it's about, have I grown? Am I continuing on this? Like, do I feel better? Do I feel smarter? Do I feel like a kinder person? Like, those are the things. And then, and not looking at it from like, here's what I didn't do, but like, oh, I went up this far, which is nice. Which, I mean, that's where the M in SMART comes from, for the SMART goals is measurable, but I feel like it's so dated. I hate that. And Craig, like putting a number, oh yeah, I just shuddered a little bit because I used to do that to myself. I'm gonna read 50 books in this year, and no, I never did, because then it would become a chore.
And I found myself thinking that exact thing as we're talking about this is I work in architecture. I live by deadlines that are set by other people. I have a schedule for game stuff that's happening for publishing and design stuff that has to happen, having artwork in by a certain time, you know, making sure I'm getting started early enough to get there, and making sure the artists and the freelancers and everything know that like this is a schedule, and it's pretty, you know, I've got dates to hit and blah blah blah, and I've got, you know, a plan for 18 months out. Do I really want to put a number on how many games I'm going to read this year? Do I really want to, you know? So I think that anybody who has any has some measure of control over what they can do with this free time in their life. If you've got, if the rest of your life is deadlines at work and like, you know, Monday after school is this activity for my kid, and you know, Saturday morning is this activity for my kid. You got these things that are kind of set and you can't really mess around with. Otherwise, you're going to be, you know, wasting money or disappointing your family or whatever. Do you ask yourself before you start quantifying it, do you really want to put a number on the stuff that you yeah. don't have?
It is really weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to be like, quote unquote, disciplined with your hobby and with fun things like gaming. Because it's like we require like at least a little bit of that to like get the ball rolling. But it's the second you try to quantify it, as you're saying, it just becomes a lot less fun and a lot less fulfilling, especially when the rest of your life is always so regimented. So that's another.
Everybody knows themselves better than any of us three do. Yeah. Everybody out there knows themselves better than we do. So if putting a number on it is what motivates you, okay. Cool, go for it. If you know that's what works for you, go for it. But if it seems like you just find yourself kicking yourself in the butt every time you don't hit your number, maybe you don't got to put a number on it this time.
Yeah, or even if the number is something like, I'm going to spend 1 hour this week reading a book. Like that's small enough that it's attainable. I guess you could say it's a smart goal. It's small enough that it's attainable. But it's also like specific enough that... it might be the thing you need. So yeah. So just like Craig very wisely said, you know, you should know yourself and you know which way to go with that. These are all just
and that's like that 1 hour thing. Like that's something I actually have been doing to myself now where I know how much I have yet to write for this game that I'm looking toward, you know, kickstarting at the end of this year. And I've got a certain amount of it done and there's playtesting happening and I know how much I have left to write. And I'm like, okay, I have to write a page a day. That's my plan. Got to write a page a day.
How long is that?
Anywhere between a half hour and 2 hours, depending on what I'm writing.
Well, there you go.
If I miss it today, I got to make that day up within a week.
Yeah.
And
little bite-sized goals
because
are good.
I'm doing it in little dribs and drabs like that. If I end up just straight up missing because of like I get sick and I'm suddenly like just like not in the condition to be writing for 3 days. I'll cope. You know, I don't mind losing that little bit because it's something that I'm spreading out over a long period of time. If it was like, well, I have to write 10 pages a day in order to get this thing done by the end of the month, that starts to get a little much. But if I'm just like, I want a page a day, do a page a day. And if I miss today, I got to make it up. Look,
I find those little bite-sized goals are the best way for me because it's like five minutes a day of whatever. That's easy. And it usually it's like I'm tricking myself. I don't know if it's an ADHD thing or what, but I like those 5 minutes will spill into 20, 30 minutes. But if I say I got to write for an hour, I'm going to be like, forget that. I'm going to go watch TV. But if it's 5 minutes, oh, that's easy. I'll just sit down for 5 minutes and then that will kind of spiral into more time. So bite-sized goals.
Yeah. The idea of, for me, like the idea of making up time, if I didn't do it, hurts me. It prevents me, it like puts a mental block on me, like I just can't overcome. So I have to try to avoid doing like I will do this for this much time every day, and if I don't, I have to make it up the next day or like within that week. That doesn't work for me, but I have also trained myself to not feel bad if I don't do something. Like, sure, it's gonna take a little bit longer to do this. Like if I'm on a deadline, I eventually obviously have to make up that time, but you know,
do you find deadlines are helpful or there's sometimes you're just
the
like,
final,
man,
the final, like 10% of a deadline is very helpful for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The rest of it. Mm-hmm, yeah. That's very helpful for me. But you know, there's a lot of things that go into whether or not I'm currently motivated to do work. It all depends on what chemicals are in my brain currently and and whether or not, and I think you know, I mean, that's why making sure that you're taking care of yourself too is really important for any of these goals, because if you're not setting yourself up mentally to accomplish anything, you're gonna have a hard time. You're gonna have a hard time coping with having a hard time.
Yeah. And that's why I say tricking myself, because there are things, and again, I don't know who all this applies to, if it applies to any of you or any of the listeners, but I know that if I run in the morning, I have a much better day. Well, I don't want to freaking run. It's cold out and it's dark out. But if I say, all right, and again, I've been doing this for 30 years. If I say to myself, all right, well, I'm just going to walk down the block. And then then once I start walking, that turns into a run and I can actually finish my run. It's the same thing with like writing or reading. Like, all right, I'm just gonna go write one page. I'm gonna write for 5 minutes, or I'm gonna paint for just 10 minutes. And then again, people in my brain are like, no, forget that, dude. Just go sit. Let's go eat chips. All right, let's go eat chips and drink beer. But if I can trick myself, then like I feel so much better because I did this thing that's giving me joy. So that's the only pro tip I have for anyone that's got a 2025 quest. You gotta find a way to trick yourself, even if you know you shouldn't have
It's a
to.
snowball effect.
It goes back to what's going on in your
It's
brain. Yes,
definitely a
that's a good way
snowball
to put it.
effect. And I think that's why also people really like doing these things in January too, because it like, oh, here's a reason I'm tricking myself into doing this, and maybe it'll stick.
It's a
Right, right.
clean break, even though it's objectively meaningless. It's a clean break in the calendar.
I think
Do
it,
we?
oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say another quest that people who are just gamers
I
should
was
do,
about to do that
maybe
exact
could do.
thing. Yep. Suggest more suggestions. Here we go.
Mine was to, if you are making it your quest to read more books or to play more games, make at least one of them be a creator from a marginalized identity. I think that that's super
Nice.
important. And then also make it another quest to review these games after you've been done reading them, because that helps boost everything. But the reason why I'm saying like make at least one of those games like take time to read from other voices too. It always bothers me every year when I see people's like gaming lists, like here's everything I did. I'm like, this is missing a lot of voices. It would be really nice to make an effort to like it, because it does take an effort to kind of overcome the other hurdles that exist, those other barriers for marginalized creators. You have to make an effort to help everybody else overcome that by sharing those voices out too. And I think that that would be a really nice goal for people to have.
And to go along the line, just touching on that reviewing thing too, is like, if sometimes people get games through bundles, they get games through, just borrowing from other people, or they go to the library and get a chance to look at a game or whatever. If at all possible, buy the game. If you've got the money, pay buy the game, pay for the game. Help, especially for like indie creators, like help the indie creator do what they do. But beyond actually buying the game, maybe even more than buying a game, the single biggest thing you can do to help an indie creator is to positively review something and get it out there in
Absolutely.
social media or on DriveThruRPG or wherever else you find outlets to review things. And don't just, okay, pop in 5 stars. 5 stars, that's nice. If you can, if you got a minute, got a couple minutes, sit down and write a paragraph or two. Tell people why you like the game, because that might be the thing that sparks a couple of dozen other people to check out the game. Just looking at this review, and they you in the game, you say, well, I really love how this game handles social interaction, and it was really something I'd never seen before. And here's the basic, like in a couple sentences, you describe kind of what it does. And then somebody reads that and goes, oh my God, I had no idea that you could do that with that. Like, I have to check this game out.
Yeah, at the very least, you can tell a friend, because even if you can't or won't go on to line to write a review, even if you just tell your one of your gaming buddies to check it out, like that's the best. Like we said, or I said, there's so much stuff out there. If I get a personal recommendation from someone, that's going to motivate me a hundredfold to
No,
actually
for
check it
real.
out.
And I have way more purchases on my games than I have review, like manifold more purchases on my games than I have reviews on my games. And I
Oh,
would
yeah.
much rather at this point have a nice review on my games,
That might be a
even a
quest.
star.
That might be a quest for us individually, is to go out there and review some of these things that we've been that we're reading, and also to, as publishers, make an effort through our newsletter or Kickstarter update or whatever it is you're using to communicate with people, social media, and just
That's a great
put the
idea.
bug in people's ears every so often to say, hey, if you really want to support Nerdburger Games, Wannabe Games, Shoreless Sky, go and leave a review. Leave a nice positive review for whatever it is you read and enjoyed or played and enjoyed. And don't ju and you know, publishers, I'm going to say this to both of you and to any other publishers and designers who are listening to this, don't just do it once, because once disappears into the ether faster than you can blink.
Yeah.
You kind of got to do it multiple times. And you may find yourself thinking, well, geez, I'm posting on this once a month in my social media. God, I'm just, all my social media followers are going to stop following me. Well, guess what? I post daily when I have a Kickstarter going, at least once a day. And I don't see my follower count plummet because people check their social medias at different times. And so some things they never even see, especially in heavily algorithm regulated ones like Twitter, where like you could post something and it's going to get seen by 70 people and that's it, it's gone. But yeah, just like, you know, as a quest review, in whatever way that works for you, tell your friends, which could go hand in hand with trying out the game, previous quest idea. You know, just put the positivity out there into the universe and let other people see that, hey, there's this cool thing. And you will feel good for doing that, and it will help the creator.
Yes, I love reviewing things on Itch. I review anything that I open up and I read or I play, because I play a lot of video games on Itch as well. I give it a little review. Even if I don't have time at that moment or I'm not feeling the motivation to write something, I at least give it a star. Like, I give it a 5-star rating. Don't give them a bad rating. Don't make that your quest.
Yeah, I will say this. I have gleaned from people who know a little bit about how the algorithms work on some of these websites that anything, if it's a five-star rating system, if it's three or less, all you are doing is hurting the creator. Mm-hmm. That's all you're doing. And if you want to tell somebody that you didn't enjoy this game, tell your friends in social media, hey, I played this game, I didn't enjoy it. Don't go in there and review bomb somebody out, because it drags the algorithm, it drags that game off the lists where it's going to get seen. You know, I hate to say it, and I would love people to give honest criticism in their reviews, but maybe a 5-star review and pointing out a couple of the shortcomings of the game in text is okay.
Yeah.
You could have really enjoyed the game.
Yeah. Then, even
but just had like, well, there's a couple of things that just aren't my cup of tea, and I'm going to point these out here just to let people know that these things are in the game, but I generally enjoyed the game.
Yeah, absolutely. You can still give a 5-star review.
And the whole, well, I never give a 5-star review because nothing's perfect. Fuck you. That simple.
I agree with that one. Nothing's perfect, but we're not rating on a perfect system. Five stars isn't perfect.
Nothing's perfect. And 6 stars means perfect. And that's why they don't allow you to post 6 stars, because nothing's perfect.
So
the movie Shrek 2001. It's a perfect movie. Actually, Shrek 2 is a perfect movie.
Well, so is
Deep
Tremors.
Lore. Deep lore.
And I will go to I will die on that hill. That is a perfect movie.
It is a great movie.
All the characters make smart choices. Everything that happens is despite the characters making smart choices.
Well, it's not
Tremors. A few things are, Derek.
Well, do you guys have other personal quests for this year we want to share before we close out?
Well, I have one to throw out to other people. If you've been playing RPGs and you're like, oh, I really like to try GMing something sometime. I found this game that I really like and I think I could GM this, but I'm not sure. Maybe that's a quest for you this year, to try GMing. Because all of us forever GMs out there, all of us who are saying we want to play more, it's because we are forever GMs and we are finding ourselves GMing all the time. Mm-hmm. And there are many, many of us who are forever GMs who aren't designers, who just that they're the GM because they're the only person in their group that wants to, or is willing to. So yeah, like, new GMs are great. We like, there's no reason to not try GMing. And the biggest hurdle, I think, that people are there's multiple hurdles probably to trying to GM for the first time, and they will be all overcome by the simple fact that we have said on this program many times, the players are actually on your side. They want you to do well. They want to have a fun experience. They will forgive you for goofing something up. They will help you fill in the gaps where it needs to be filled in. They're all there for the fun. They're not there to see you fail. If they are, you got to find a different group. Yep.
Exactly.
One thing I thought of as we were talking, I'm going to run with your idea about just kind of promoting and reviewing other things, because I find that I'm not especially active on social media. I'm not good at it and I don't like it. But I think a lot of times I feel like it has to be my, like I've always got to be like hustling my stuff. And I don't have a lot of stuff right now, but I think it would be so fun to use, you know, whatever, my five followers to like promote other creators. And I think that's a way to like, you know, I mentioned feeling like a part of the community and of the scene. I think for me personally, that would be a fun, motivating way to do that, like to motivate me to look at more stuff, and to hopefully share it. So that's something I'm gonna try. And I'm gonna do 100 books this year. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
It's okay because we can just pull that soundbite out with no context and bring it up at the end of the year when you're on.
December 2025. Derek said he was going to do 100 books, but did he?
Ba-bum. Gotcha.
Bobby Newp. Oh, sorry. I know you like Parks and Rec. Yeah.
Mine is like my personal one is to be a little bit more, I don't know, intentional with what I'm doing with my writing and my game design, and trying, like I've said before on this podcast, like it's about time for me to start like actually having a schedule and like thinking in the future about what I'm going to release and having a timetable for that. And I'm going to make it my quest to, you know, at least have at least try one, try putting one thing on a schedule in the future, in the long-term future, instead of the more short-term future. That is of my own decision instead of a contract that I'm trying to fulfill. I think that would be good for me. And I think trying it out once and seeing how it works, which sounds so silly. It's just not the kind of person I am. But I feel like everyone else does it, and I want to see what the hype is all about.
I think you'll find a
Yeah,
way to
I
make
think
it
so too.
work for you.
I don't think you will.
I've no, thanks. I
I think you're
always
going to
make it a
drop. I think you're
goal.
going to drop the ball. I think you're going to be a giant failure. But I'm saying
Oh
this so
God.
that you can.
Oh no.
But I
Yeah.
said all of
Right.
that so you can snip that out of context, and then you can play it again on the show when you accomplish exactly what you're talking about, and you can
Yeah. December
see, Craig,
2025, we'll
I
have a big
did it.
expose.
Just to
Well,
spite you. Because
my
just because
actual
spite salt.
2025 quest was to expose Craig as a giant jerk. He's been so mean to me this entire
You should
time.
hear what he says off the air.
Tremors 2 is a perfect movie. Yeah, I'm having a fun time looking forward to 2025. I always think it's going to be a good year, and it usually is, notwithstanding everything else. But for me personally, I try to make things possible. Yeah,
Just ignore the
if you
news.
ignore everything around you, if you ignore
Except for
everything
this little
around you,
narrow band.
I think it's about making kind of a little bit more positive energy in your own life and in the lives of people around you. And if you do
Yes.
that, you're at least, you know, people will at least smile, and that's a nice, even if it's just yourself, you'll get a little happiness, and that's what a quest is all about.
I'm already on my
Yes.
quest to get. You know, to be well out in front of getting Gen Con prepped for.
I saw you post
I
about
started
that.
ramping up,
Good
started
for you.
asking people, got a handful of people locked in, talking to other people, got to get the team, got to bring the team together.
Dang,
One
big
last
quest.
heist.
Great. One last job. What a great game.
Derek, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What do you want to do? You want to promo anything today? Do you want to talk about upcoming projects if you have
Yes.
any for 2025 or whatever you're doing?
Yes. I finally released an expansion for the Broken Cask, Broken Cask Gardens. So it's a free expansion, adds a little mini game to the Broken Cask. So I think it turns out, again, I don't know if I'm going to keep going with this, but I think what I'm trying to do is just basically make like Stardew on paper. So this is like a little grid-based gardening mini game that you can add to your inn. So that's just come out. You can check it out. You might enjoy it. Short of that, I can be found everywhere as Shoreless Skies. If you want to see what I've been up to, and then you know, if all goes according to quest, what games I'm promoting this next year, and what orcs I've been painting. That's for all me.
Question for you, Derek.
Hey, but if you have a like, you, if, I know you guys aren't on YouTube, but if you were, the thumbnail or the cat would have to be like you with like a little exclamation point over your head, like World of Warcraft.
Did
Go
your
on.
doing the little mini game thing, did that grow out of our discussion about you, where you were hitting the wall and dealing with burnout, and we were suggesting things for burnout, and one of those things being do a little thing, do a little game, do a little
Yes.
project. And that's where that came from. Look at that. Look at that.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Sometimes our suggestions
Absolutely.
work.
Because it's low. Yes. I did a thing and
I
you
love
can too.
that.
Yes. No, talking to you guys and some other very encouraging friends. I think it goes back to what I was saying about making things like tricking myself and making things really bite-sized, because it's literally like a 6-page document. And most of it, and one big page of that is like the garden page that I had a lot of fun designing. So yeah, low, and then it's, you know, I finished it. It still took me a friggin' month to put out because reasons. But yeah, absolutely. Setting those small goals and then just doing it, that's helped a lot. And I'm very excited about the
Is that
response so far.
for
So thank
the
you.
solo game or is it for society? Because I haven't gotten my okay.
It's for the Broken Cask. Yeah, that's the yeah, I know it's confusing. The Broken Cask,
Okay.
the
I
first one,
haven't
the solo game.
gotten the hold of the other one and I want to. But I'm excited for that. I just learned recently that people are coming out with expansions. Like you've said that you have yours, that there's also an expansion for another solo game that I really like. And I just learned about this recently, that people are doing this for
Which
Apothecaria,
one?
which
Oh yeah,
I purchased
that one's
at
on
the
my
same
list.
time I purchased yours, and I played both of them, and
Aw.
I greatly enjoyed both of them. They were when you say
Yay.
no,
Thanks for trying it.
I loved that game, and I should give it a little review because I actually haven't reviewed yours yet.
I was going to just say, what a wonderful positive review you've got going there.
I had a great time, and now that I know people are releasing expansions for their solo games, that you can play long term, because you could play Apothecaria a little bit longer term than you might with other games. You can play Broken Cask kind of the same way. Like you can have this little story going on for as long as you want, which I love. And having an expansion and adding to it,
Yeah,
I love
man.
it.
I've taken so many cues from like cozy video games, and I think the way they keep you hooked when like there's no combat is through like all these little mini games. So if I do keep the ball rolling, that'll be it. Just what's that? How do we do a pen and paper fishing mini game? How do we do a pen and paper brewing mini
That's the
game?
way
And
to do
then
it.
so I
And if you
think
tie them
that's the
all
way
into the
forward.
broken cask, and then you do a second one and a third one and a fourth one, and eventually you've got six or seven of them, and then that's a little soft cover book. Compendium of all of them.
Yes, I need to do a second edition of Broken Cask big time. I need to get Jacob to do layout because he did such a good job with society. But
Here we
anyway,
are.
we're getting sidetracked.
Craig, what
Our
about
quest
you?
got
What's
sidetracked.
coming up for you?
Oh boy, the big one is the near term right now is going to Gamma Expo, and then which doesn't mean anything unless you're like a retailer. Hello, retailers who might be listening to this, and but getting Slay to win. To the finish line and kickstarting that's the hybrid. It's a card game. It's sort of a hybrid of there's role-playing aspects to it, but it's also a monster fighting game where everybody wants to kill the monsters and save the day, but everybody also individually wants to be crowned the greatest monster hunter ever, and you do that by delivering the killing blow. So the game involves like finding ways to snipe your your friends and get that killing blow before they do.
And the art
It's a
is
lot of fun.
tremendous. What
Yes.
about you, Jess?
I mean, I have a couple of projects that I'm working on this year. Some of them I'm working on with other creators who I am very excited about, and I'm not going to talk about those projects yet. And I have some freelancing like adventure gigs lined up as well. And then the next, oh, and I have a beach episode, the project that I ideated on this very podcast, beach episode. So that all that stuff I'm super, super excited about. The next project that I've done just kind of solo on my own is a solo game called Acqua Tofana, which is based off of the real poisonings in the 1600s of Italy. It is a game about poisoning your husband to get out of a marriage when there's
Hell
no
yeah.
other way out. And that's a solo tarot card game that'll be coming out in 2025. You should go check out the Kickstarter for Runecaster, a game where you draw and combine runes to cast spells. It's a system that you can use to play mages learning how to be mages learning about magic, and that game is by Pangerman Collective. It is called, again, Runecaster. And I did editing work on that game, and I'm very excited about that. I'm kind of leveling up my repertoire of editing since I've done that in the past, and I want to do a little bit more about more along those lines. So I'm very, very
What a great
excited.
quest.
Yes, it was a
Doing
quest,
more editing.
and I was successful, and I want to be more successful on this quest later and keep getting my XP so I can keep leveling up. So yeah, all those things are
Nice.
I'm just really stoked. I think it's going to be a fun year, at least in the gaming world. So yeah, you can follow me at Blue Sky now. I'm no longer anywhere else other than Blue Sky, really, at Joska, same as always, joska.social or whatever. It doesn't matter. You can find me if you look up Joska.
Yeah, I like Blue Sky. It's almost making me want to like be more online. Yeah.
It's
It's almost like not run by a
Twitter 7
psychopath.
or 8 years ago. It really is.
It is.
But yeah, I'm Nerdburger Craig on Blue Sky as well. And nerdburgergames.com. Drive through RPG. That's where you can find stuff.
Derek, you got socials so you wanna add in there?
Yep, shorelessguys.com. There's three S's. It's a lot of S's. And then I'm probably most active on Instagram. I'm also on Blue Sky, a little bit of Facebook, Itch, all those places. It's all linked on shorelessguys.com.
Thank you to our opening and closing theme song, which is Avail by Steph Sax, licensed under Creative Commons. Thank you, Steph Sax, and thank all of you for listening. And we'll see you back here next time. Bye
Bye.
bye. Bye bye.